Joined on the phone right now by Tom Jensen, the Director of Public Policy Polling based out of Raleigh, publicpolicypolling.com, their website. And you can find more news and analysis on Twitter at PPPpolls. Talking today about the state of the race for the midterm elections coming up next year. Just a little bit less than a year and a half away, and the race is heating up already. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So let's start with the race for U.S. Senate. Obviously, we're going to have a real high-profile race in North Carolina and a lot of other ones across the country as the Senate's very evenly split and obviously both parties very desperately hoping to gain control. Where do things stand right now?
Well, it's a really interesting battleground for the Senate in 2022. Basically, as we stand today, it looks like there's four Republican-held seats that are going to be really potentially competitive, and there's four Democratic-held seats that are going to be really potentially competitive. And all of these seats are coming in states that were decided by 3 points or less in the presidential race last year, with one exception. The states that Democrats are going to have seats in that they need to defend the most are Arizona, which Biden won by less than a point. Mark Kelly got elected just last year, but only to a two-year term to finish out John McCain's term after he passed away. So he's having to run again already. Georgia, another state that Biden won by less than a point. Similar situation, Reverend Raphael Warnock. Just got elected, but he only got elected to a two-year term, so he has to run again already. In Nevada, Senator Catherine Cortez Masto is up for re-election in the state that Biden won by two. And then the one state that wasn't so competitive for the presidential race that's on the Senate map for next year was New Hampshire. Biden won the state by 8 points. But New Hampshire's Republican governor, Chris Sununu, is extremely popular, usually has approval ratings in the upper 60s, which is very unusual in this day and age. And he might run for the Senate against the Democratic incumbent Maggie Hassan. Polls have found that he would start out with a 5 or 6 point lead if he decided to run. So those are the seats sort of on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, we'll lead off on the home front. We have obviously an open Senate race here in North Carolina with a lot of people running on both the Democratic and Republican sides in a state that Trump won by just 1 point. In Florida, Marco Rubio's up for re-election. Congresswoman Val Demings, who's been one of the more prominent members of the House for Democrats, is running against him in a state that Trump won by 3 points. And then the two best opportunities for Democrats are coming in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, both states that Biden won by about 1 point. Pennsylvania is an open seat. The Republican incumbent Pat Toomey is not running for a third term, and that's somewhere where you have a good number of people running on both the Democratic and Republican side. And then in Wisconsin, it's not clear if Senator Ron Johnson is going to run for re-election or not. And it's not clear if it would be good for Republicans if he ran for re-election or not. Usually you want your incumbents to run for re-election, but Ron Johnson's pretty unpopular, has gotten way out to the right of Wisconsin, and there's three strong Democratic candidates already in the race to take him on. So it's a large playing field for the Senate. It's a very evenly divided playing field for the Senate, and you know, it's hard to say how it's going to play out at this point, but it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Do you see this going like a lot of the midterm elections that we've seen recently have been kind of wave elections in one direction or another? Think about 06, 10, 14, 18, like really the last four midterms have all kind of gone the same way. Is that just a trend that we're likely to experience again this time around, or are there other X factors that you're seeing that make it look like maybe this won't be a wave election?
Well, I definitely think you point to the historic trend would say that Republicans win all eight of those seats that I just talked about. You know, definitely if we have another midterm election, that's consistent with the ones we've had recently where there's a significant backlash against the party of the president. I think Republicans would win all eight of those seats, and they would go from a 50-50 Senate to a 54-46 majority. Now, there's a few things that make it seem like this time might be different. One thing is that the overall national political climate just has not turned against Biden yet. It's not like it's great for him, but he's in a very similar position to where he was on Election Day 9 months ago. And to maintain that sort of position is a big contrast from how things went for Barack Obama and how things went for Donald Trump when they were first elected president. Both of them, you could already tell by now that their parties were sort of starting to fall apart. I distinctively remember talking to an Arkansas reporter this exact week in 2009, 12 years ago, and telling him that Blanche Lincoln was completely doomed for reelection, somebody who had been a pretty popular Democratic senator, and the guy just didn't believe me at all. He said, I didn't know anything about Arkansas, blah, blah, blah. And she ended up losing by 20 points 15 months later. There's not a similar conversation I would have like that for any of the Democratic senators up for reelection now, because the political climate has not shifted in that way. So that's one piece. The other big piece that I think is really interesting moving forward with the parties as it pertains to midterm elections is traditionally Republicans have structurally had an advantage in midterm elections because their people are more likely to turn out for every election. Democratic voters were more likely to maybe only turn out if it was a presidential election. But as the parties have really gotten resorted based on educational lines, with Democrats becoming the party of more well-educated voters and Republicans becoming the party of less well-educated voters, it's also a fact that the more well-educated you are, the more likely you are to turn out for every election. So it may be now that Democratic voters are the ones who are going to be more likely to turn out in the midterm, with Republican voters and all those people who came out to vote for the first time because of Trump less likely to come back out for a midterm, in a way that allows Democrats next year and beyond to sort of upset the general historic trend of what happens in a midterm to the party of the president.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling. So with all of that in mind, we've been talking about the Senate. Where do things stand in the House?
Well, one thing that's very important to note about the House is just what a structural advantage Republicans have. You know, they have a small minority right now, but there's a couple different things that, even if the political climate's exactly the same as it is now, give them a very good chance of taking back control of the House. One of them is simply that with redistricting, the every 10-year process, Republicans have netted six seats in the House in states that voted for Trump as opposed to states that voted for Biden. That doesn't necessarily mean at the individual district level that that means there's going to be an automatic six-seat gain for the Republicans, but just based on where the seats are, there's been this six-seat gain for Republicans heading into the next 10 years in terms of where the seats are even coming from. So that's one big structural advantage. Another big structural advantage is some of the states that Democrats have gotten control of, they've done what they said they were going to do, and they've put in independent redistricting. So in a state like Colorado, where Democrats have total control, there's now independent redistricting. In a state like Virginia, where Democrats have total control, there's now independent redistricting. That means that Democrats aren't likely to gain any more seats out of those places in the next 10 years because they're not drawing the lines to benefit themselves. Republicans, on the other hand, have total control of the redistricting process in Georgia, Florida, Texas, and North Carolina. And those are all states where they have the opportunity to make sure, A, that the newly drawn seats are drawn so that they'll go to a Republican, and B, to maybe try to take out a couple Democratic incumbents here and there. So just to use North Carolina as an example, for most of the last decade, Republicans had a 10-3 advantage in the delegation, even though the state's so closely divided because of the way that the district lines were drawn. The courts finally stepped in for the last election of the decade and said these are totally unfair, made them draw new lines. That got Democrats two more districts, took it 8-5. Now we're going to have 14 districts because we're gaining one in redistricting. I think Republicans will try to draw either a 10-4 or an 11-3 map and get that huge advantage right back from this narrower 8-5. It'll end up in the courts, but what we saw this last decade was that Republicans got away with really unfair maps for 8 years before finally having to put in a somewhat fair map for the last election of the 10-year cycle. So you have a few districts just in these four states each flip to the Republicans just because of how they're drawn. Republicans already have a majority right there. So it may be harder for Democrats to hold on in the House and the Senate just because of these structural reasons.
Get more news and analysis online at publicpolicypolling.com and on Twitter at PPPpolls. You can also revisit the archive of all of our conversations on This Morning in the This Morning with Aaron Keck section on our website, chapelboro.com. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.